Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Tim.
Hi, I'm Sam, compulsive overeater. And I've been back from relapse since 2009, and I'm down 105 pounds. What it was like, my goodness, you know, it's funny. I love this program. I do a lot of listening to speaker tapes. And, you know, I remember as something triggered this in me when I was driving to work. And when I was a kid, one of my earliest memories is my brother and I. He was 1 year and 1 month younger than me, and we played a game. It was like Chris and Chuck Hunter, the Hunter brothers. I don't know who made it up, but that's what it was. And we were always in some kind of trouble. And you know, I mean, you know, it was kid trouble. And but you know, I think it was maybe when I was 5 or 6 years old. I'm like, let's go break those windows in the neighbor's basement. And he's like, sure, let's do it, because he's the younger brother. And so sure enough, we did. We broke all the windows, the little windows around. Nobody was home, so we got away with it. And come the nighttime, you know, Dad was like, he's on the back porch, and he's like, did you guys do this? Sure. And, you know, we got beat. And I can vividly, still to this day, remember, just the... the neighbors were upset that what my dad was doing, everything like that. And so, within another month, Chris and Chuck Hunter were playing again. And I go to my brother Andy, and I'm like, let's go steal that. And I can remember, it was like, we never played Chris and Chuck Hunter again, because Andy was like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I remember what it was like. I remember a month ago the beating that I had to take for your idea. I still didn't, and I didn't learn. I went and stole what I needed to steal. I took, and you know what? That is the story of my life, really, all the way up, you know, through, God, you know, the path on and the 12-step program started when I was 29 years old, but I was still, I could justify anything at that point. I went through... grade school, a very small farming community, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and I was the smallest kid, but I was a bully. And we worked hard, but I could eat whatever I wanted to, you know, and there was always plenty of food. They wanted you to eat food because you were gonna work very hard. And when I went to high school, I went from, I think it was maybe 20 kids in my graduating class with maybe eight boys to an all-boys Catholic high school. You know, it's like the Beverly Hillbillies moving to the big-time city. And, man, I was ill-equipped to handle it. And, the food didn't come in right away. I mean, I would eat a lot. I would still eat a lot. But I was always playing some kind of sport. And I was slowly weaned off I no longer was competing like I was. And so the weight started to come on. So I was like, oh, I'll wrestle. And, I could starve with the best of them. I like that feeling of just having a Diet Coke all day long. And I don't know what, at the end of the day, you're just like, I accomplished something. You know, the next day I'll do it again. It never really took on except for wrestling, because then there was the binge at the end of the week after you weighed in. Literally after you weighed in, you would gain 7 or 8 pounds before you actually wrestled. After high school, the weight really started to come on, because, again, I didn't like the physical activity. It was just something my parents signed and stuff for. We're like, you're going to do. And also the drinking and the drugs in high school and college. I mean, I mostly more in high school. In college, it was like, I'm done with this stuff. And so, I was just so afraid of almost everything. You know, when I drank, you know, I felt like other men looked. You know, I could see, of course you had it more together, you had more going for you, you were better looking, you were more successful and all that. But man, one drink of alcohol, for me, it was like, that all went away. And with women, it was just like I was so I'm still very introverted. I'm not so much shy, but just introverted. But man, back then I was shy. But after a couple of drinks, I could approach anyone. And so the drugs and alcohol, the drugs kind of fell off quickly. Alcohol, I was really blessed with, you know, just kind of, I was done with it. I was heading for real trouble. But something in me just said, you don't need this anymore. And I stopped drinking. I never had to go to a 12-step meeting. But I've never really wanted it since. But man, within months, I was just pounding, what do you call it? I remember walking to the corner store, just getting like 7 or 8 candy bars and 2 pints of ice cream, and then having two of the candy bars were gone before I got home. And at that time, I got up to 270 pounds, and I kind of hit bottom at that point. I was walking my dog, and I made it to the corner of like a busy intersection. And my back seized up on me, and I had to stand there, and I was too ashamed and proud to ask anybody for help, but I had to stand there, and I worked my way against a pole, and then I slowly, it worked itself out to where I could walk back home. And that was it. I was off and running with exercise. And, just for any kind of compulsive person, it was just like, once the exercise started, and the weight was coming off, ooh, I loved it. I mean, I didn't run a 5K. My first one was a marathon, you know. And then after a marathon, I was like, oh, well, what's next? You know, I got to do something. And it won't be another marathon because I was already bored with that. So I paid a they wouldn't let me do a full-length Ironman triathlon. So I bought a volunteer spot. I paid $1,000. And I'd never ridden a bike, and I never swam. I swam, but never for distance. And I only had 8 months to train for this thing. And so I paid $1,000, bought a bike, and got a gym membership and started swimming. And I competed at it, and I did really well. And because, man, it was all or nothing. And the marathon that I ran a couple since then. But that was my fastest time because I was so just hurt and driven, and I was just so obsessed with it. And, the weight came off. But, man, I was like, how much exercise do I have to do? How much can I eat? It was that balance. And I'm not good at math. And so it was just like, it was just like, it moved fast. I mean, I would just slam it back and forth. Well, after that triathlon, I was like, well, what's next? And really, at the time, Everest was very big. It was very popular and all of it. Nobody had died on it yet. And I was really ready. I was like, oh, $80,000. And I was very, very, very fortunate, when I come to look at the wreckage of my life, I'm a break-even guy financially. If it's not for my parents' money, I'm a hand-to-mouth guy. And that's just, I'm just a blue-collar, camera assistant. And so, that was on the agenda, but I'm like, I can't come up with that kind of money. And so I moved out to Los Angeles. I'm like, I've always wanted to be in the movie business. I didn't want to act. I just wanted to do something in the movie. So I sold my construction company, but it was boring. That's what it was, just boring. And so came out here and got in, but then the craft service came along, and that was, so I'm like, oh, this is great. A little bit of this after 12, I can do that for 10 hours and maybe 12, but when they go 14 and they bring in the pizza and, I want to be part of the guys. And so, the weight started coming on. In my last marathon that I ran with my brother and sister, at this time I was, I was an Al-Anon. Because I found that all the women that I dated were alcoholics. And I tried to keep up with them. I for the longest time I would try to keep up with them. And so I got into Al-Anon because, if I was going to date them, I better knew how to control them. And it really was. I remember telling my therapist at the time, I'm like, he's like, you were there in every one of these relationships. You were in there. You made these choices. Maybe you want to check this out. I'm like, this is great. I get to learn how to do it and move around And so I came out here. I was in Al-Anon, and I was sharing this guy. I'm like, I'm running this marathon, doing this, but I'm gaining all this weight. And it was White Flag Walter. And he's like, man, you sound like a compulsive overeater. And he showed me his biking picture, which is like, it was even heavier than he's just real skinny now. But he's like, yeah, I used to ride like, 12 hours a week or 14 hours a week. I was one of the biggest mountain bikers in the San Fernando Valley, but I still couldn't keep the weight off. And I'm like, oh, that's, I'm different. And, I went off to Chicago to run this marathon. And the night before, I'm like, my best thinking was like, I'm going to get a pizza and carbo load in my room, by myself. Everybody's there, family's there, everything's good, But my best thinking puts me in my room with pizza. And I ate the pizza, and the marathon was just miserable. I mean, and I'm like, okay, so that little bottom there, that little dip was like, oh, okay, you're going to go back, you're going to start whatever diet it was. And I was never a big dieter, I was just more of the extreme, But I actually bought a diet book, and it lasted till noon. And I'm like, Jesus. So I called Walter, came into OA, just humiliated because in Al-Anon they say that's the graduate program, and I'm like, and in food it's so basic. It's just like I should be able to eat whatever I want to eat, just in moderation. But that wasn't the case, and so came in, I got the food plan, I really saw right away that flour and sugar were just not possible for me anymore, because once I started eating them, I didn't want to stop eating them. And for a year, I dropped weight, not a problem, but then I started, I love spin class, I love exercise bulimia. I don't like doing a lot of exercise, but like, I like short, intense exercise. And so, I would leave the 7:30 Studio City meetings so I could get to the Hollywood YMCA so I could spin in the morning. And, for me, spin class did exactly the same thing my 12-step program does now. It stopped my mind. Because the incessant mind of just, I got to have this, I got to do this, and what's going on over here. And just, if I could really exhaust myself after 50 minutes of exercise, the mind shuts down for a while. It just shuts down, and all it can do is take care of itself. And that's really what I get from now working a good 12-step, or just a 12-step program that works. I can't say if it's good or bad. It just works for me today. And so, that failing to enlarge upon a spiritual condition, that coasting, and I remember hearing somebody say, if you're coasting, you're going downhill. And I was coasting, and I walked right out of the rooms, gradually. Got the wife while I was thin, and I mean, I didn't get married, but, I had her. And, so once I had her, I was like, I was off on the way up. And, for her, I'm sure it was a very bumpy 5 years, because I went from like 270 to, from like 170, 165 to, 280. And, she, every once in a while, she, maybe I'll go back to OA, And I'm like, oh, I'm not ready. And I wasn't. I really was not ready. And, May 5th in 2009, I'd eaten so much. I had a child 6 months old, and I was just out of control. The food, not so much as my life. I was just choking. I couldn't breathe. I didn't feel like I could take a full breath and just go, wow, this is, just... I always had to be moving and doing something just to fill that void. And man, I'd eaten so much because the way I eat, and then once that goes down a little bit, I just eat more. Once I started eating like McDonald's and chips and stuff like that. And I threw up in my mouth that night, and I just was kind of done with it. And I snuck back into a Pasadena meeting and, just didn't get the vibe. And I knew where the vibe was. I knew where the people who were doing the deal were. And I went back there, and I the newcomers, you're making the bravest decision. This is not easy, for the people coming back, it's not easy. But it's a lot better than not being able to breathe, not being able to take a full breath, because I was just so afraid of everything. And so I came back in and got a sponsor, and he says, I knew flour and sugar. He's like, great, flour and sugar, that sounds good. After 30 days, he's like, so what have you put on your plate in the last 30 days that that once you put them on there, you were looking for your second helping. And for me, it was rice and it was potatoes. And he goes, you know, the way, and he's been abstinent for 14 years, and he's never experienced a relapse like I have. And he works very hard at maintaining his program. And he says, you know, once those go on your plate, you know, you're just going to want more. And so the way that needs to, you know, the way I suggest it is, and what I really recommend for you is that goes on, you know, there's no red light, yellow light. It's like, this doesn't go on your plate, period. And because everything's contained by one, you know, it's one plate or someone else gets to make that call. You know, my wife is a great judge of my food. She's like, "Oh, that salad's not the size of your salad." She will always take care of me, even if I'm a jerk. She knows with the food. She's just like, you know, this is much, this is enough, and this is not enough. And but I don't make those decisions. You know, I really started working the steps. You know, I did. All he asked me to do was 5 minutes of writing every morning, and man. For some reason, that I could do that. And he goes, you know what? That's your goalpost. You're a winner if you get that done. I don't care if you do nothing else all day long. If you get that done, if you commit your food and you don't eat, you know, you don't overeat, and you do your 5 minutes of writing, you're done. You can do anything else. And man, for some reason, coming back in, that was enough for me, because I was always wanted to be a success. I came from a very, very well-to-do, influential family in the Midwest, and just doing 5 minutes of writing and not eating, that wasn't enough for me. But for some reason, my defenses were so down, and just what I just believed what he said, and all I did was what he said, and that started working. And As I mentioned, I work in a business where they will feed you a lot of food, but they will also work you very hard. And I was working on a job where we were up in the middle of Yosemite, and as we were negotiating rates and all sorts of things, I just got the sense that they weren't really going to take care of me. You know, they weren't going to really, my food issues in the middle of Yosemite weren't going to be their priority. And, you know, I shared it at a group level, and I said, you know, I'm really afraid that I'm going to get up there and all they're going to do is throw sandwiches at me, and I'm going to have to take 15 sandwiches apart to get enough protein, and I'm going to look like an idiot. And somebody, and you know, I can still remember him walking up to me, and I haven't seen him literally since. He goes, "Why don't you just bring your food with you?" And I'm like, "But the food there is free, you know." And I'm like, "But I did it. I packed it for enough for 3 days. I cooked enough chicken breasts and salads and stuff like that. And you know what? To this day, I still do it." You know, even though I'm still a freak show when it comes to my food. I have no faith that catering is going to have enough food. I really don't. Or the appropriate foods. So I pack my food so that I can actually do my job. Because if I have to wonder, well, what are they bringing out for second meal? You know, I'm missing what my job is. I'm here to do a job. And so, you know, I pack my lunch, and then it's simple. It's taken care of. Yeah, it's money, but you know what? I'm more than happy to spend whatever I spend, and I've never tallied it up because I don't care. My wife sometimes cares. But she's like, but it doesn't matter. I have that. I'm safe and sane and sober when I walk on to the job site with my food. And people look at me like, you know, you always get the comments and you always have to go through. And I'm like, I'm just really weird with my food. Not that I'm worried about bugs or anything like that. I'm just like, I want my food, and you know, I just want my food. And so, what it's like now. Having worked the 12 steps, I work with a lot of guys. I work with my sponsor. And really what it's like now is just, I'm on an incredible journey. That's the past, I'm going to say a year has just been phenomenal. You know, right now I'm reading Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. And, you know, I just pick a book. Any 12-step literature, doesn't matter where it's from, and I just start reading it. When I hit a sentence that I key on, I type out the sentence, and that's what I send in to my sponsor, you know, besides the food and my questions that I answer every day, you know, the writing that I do. And and I listen to a lot of speaker tapes. I really enjoy listening to speaker tapes. It keeps me connected to the program. And you know, I've been riding my bike. You know, I have to check out my exercise program because I cannot be trusted. And so, you know, I ride to like 20th Century Fox. I live in Valley, so I'll ride over to Fox, or I'll ride up the valley where I'm working now, and you know, just pack my food in a backpack and throw it in the fridge when I get there. No one has yet taken it, and so, and so, you know, I'll just pop that. I'll listen to these speakers, and you know, there was one, and he was talking about, you know, we are restless and irritable and discontent, and we always want to stop feeling what we're feeling now. And I'm still a good one for that. And I started chewing a lot of gum and drinking a lot of Coke and coffee and stuff like that. And so, like 6 months ago, I'm like, what is wrong with now? You know, and that doesn't come to me on my own. That does, you know, I'm not breaking windows and doing stupid shit like that. Oh, excuse me. On my own. But when I'm dialed into the program, really working with other people, you know, that comes to me as like, what is wrong with right now? What do I need to change about right now that I have to take myself out? Because I would be chewing 5 to 6 pieces of gum. You know, I mean, my jaw, people would be like, your jaw's popping, man. I know, man, but this is great. I just feel it just to keep moving. And, you know, and so, you know, and then it was, you know, at that point, I'm done. It was just removed from me. You know, I didn't need to chew any more gum. It wasn't like I had to hang on, you know. And then it was just last week, I was, you know, riding my bike again, and I'm like, well, what's wrong? You know, and I'm working on this just crazy. We didn't get off till 9 o'clock this morning. And just this crazy job. And I'm just drinking insane amounts of coffee, espressos. I mean, and I'm more tired after I drink them than I am. And I'm just like, what is wrong with now? What, I mean, okay, I'm tired, but I get enough sleep. I eat proper food. I shouldn't be this tired. It's like, this is all, why do you need to feel differently? You know, your higher power is putting something there right in front of you. And you're saying, I don't want what you have. I can control this. I want to feel a different way. And it was just with coffee. And you know what? It's only been a week, but it's just been like, it's been an easy week. It hasn't been, yeah, I had a headache, but okay, that was it. And, you know, it's just been a blessing. You know, I'm actually able to, I have the chance of being, I think, a great father in this program. I was on my, you know, she was 6 months old, and I actually hit my daughter. Because she was 6 months old, and she kicked me, and I just smacked her right back, and it was like, you know, that's how I was raised, and you know, that hasn't happened since, but I've got a chance to be a great father. I got a chance to be a decent husband. I'll give myself a decent husband, but I have to stay in this program. I have to. This is the only chance I have, and it's you guys. I have to let you know when I'm feeling hungry, when I'm tired, because on my own, I'm going to find a way to eat. I'm going to find a way to eat more, and I love text messages. I don't want to have to talk to you. I just want to text. I'm still that introvert. I still want to, you know, text you and say I'm hungry, and I've got 3 hours until I can eat again. But man, that made, you know, Joe C, I haven't seen him in a while. He used to send me pictures of donuts. But you know, just like now, it lightens the load. You know, it lightens the load. And you know, I laugh and it's funny. You know, but it's that connected with other people and letting them know what's really going on. Because if I could handle it, I would have. You know, I'm not a charlatan. I'm not trying to get by without doing my fair share of the work. But if I could have handled it, I would have. But I can't. And so, just accepting that I'm a compulsive overeater. And every day when I say that, I'm just accepting, opening up the door that there's a lot of help out there. And when I say it to another person, they're there to help me.
I'm there to help them, and that we can get through it together, because, again, on our own, food's always going to come calling. It's always going to come creeping back in. And so, you know, that's what I do on a daily basis. And this is what it's, you know, this is what it's like now. It is tremendous. I have my marching orders in the 12 steps. You know, I used to think, what am I going to do today? Well, this is what I can do today. You know, I do a 10 step now. Who knew, you know, to do a 10 step at night? I mostly get it done in the morning, but I do it, you know, and it's sent in. I started off at 5 minutes. Now it's up to almost, you know, with prayer and meditation, and that didn't start until 11 when I was asked to. And so, you know, it's this path is unfolding, and I'm, for the first time in my life, I'm not fighting it my way. I'm just open to what's there. And so, it's a great life, and it really is, and it's not possible without you guys. So thank you, and that's what it's like today. Have time for questions. Oh, the question is how do I get a day? And I don't know. I honestly don't. I mean, I wish I had that answer. You know, not picking up the first bite, talking to other people. It's the same. I think it's day one is a lot of the same as day 101, because there's no different remedy. It's like your plan. Your plan, what your plan is for dinner, is probably not a good plan for dinner. You're a compulsive overeater. You need to check that out. I check out all my meals. They've all been approved and signed off on. And that never changes. That never changes. I'm a compulsive overeater till the end. And once I think I got this, once I think I can handle this, I'm back out there. So how I get day one is I check out my food, and I eat nothing off my food plan. Nothing is off my food plan. It goes in my mouth, somebody knows about it. The question was, do you need to be abstinent to go through the steps? My experience is I was abstinent when I went through the steps. You know, as soon as I started working with a sponsor, I became abstinent. I do work with guys who relapse, but then continue on working the steps. But the start is, you know, surrendering the food. So, sorry, I wasn't able to be more clear. So the question was, what was my relationship with my body as I was going through my exercise bulimia? No, I like to push myself. I felt, If I was in pain, I felt weak. You know, I felt I should be able to do this. I, you know, in my mind is always, you know, I look at the guys that are doing it on the top, and I should be able to do that. I just did the LA River Ride, the Century, and I had to check out all my food. I had to check out all my training. You know, and the great part was there was extra food, you know. I mean, I committed beforehand. We worked out what, you know, how many hours of exercise at this point. And it was all checked out. And so, but I was riding with guys who were slower. And, you know, I got the chance to just be of service and to go slow. I wanted to go fast. I really did. I wanted to drive myself to the edge. But I didn't. And, you know, I felt good the next day. And I still had friends. You know, that's the thing is, I didn't care. I did what I wanted to do. That was my motive. I didn't care how many bridges. I don't have a lot of friends because I didn't think I needed them. I, you know, have a lot of friends now in the program because I need them. How does my wife help me with my program? Okay. So since all my food is weighed and measured, when we go out to restaurants, it's not always predictable what the quantities will be. So she judges what I get. It becomes very simple. And she's always taken, she's never shortchanged me. Once, wait a minute, she did, that's right. No. I'm sorry, yeah, there was one time where she said, no, this is too much, take half of that. And so, and then I'm just free to actually eat it. You know, I've always made it through it. But as a compulsive reader, I think, oh, I'm going to starve. I can't make it to this restaurant. I can't do this. She sits there and watches, and she says, yeah, yay or nay. It's very simple. And I've had to ask coworkers Because one time I cooked my chicken breast beforehand, and I actually grabbed all my chicken breasts instead of my salad. And I got there with 8 chicken breasts, but no salad. And I said to a coworker, I said, listen, I have a real problem with food. I need you to make this decision for me. And it's embarrassing. It is. But it's like, I'm not here, you know, the old adage, you can't save your behind and your face at the same time. It's true. So it's one or the other. Because I'm going to eat more. I always want more. Even when I look at my salad, and it's a big salad, and I'm like, that's not going to be enough today. But it always is. So that's how my wife supports me. So it gives me the freedom to go out to restaurants, and as long as someone else makes that decision for me, I'm free. I'm free from it. You know, I don't have to obsess about it. And that's really what gets me. I feel I have to justify it. Well, why did you need 1.5? Why did you need 2 of those? Well, I got to explain that to my sponsor. And then I have to defend it. And that's really what, and for me, that's what I found, is when guys defend their decisions, if they can make a mistake, but when you defend what you did, that's when they're out the door. Because, oh, you're right and I'm wrong. And then it becomes, you know, it's, hey, if I made a mistake, I made a mistake. I'll fess up to it. But when I defend what I did, because I thought I needed more, and that's when I'm taking that half step right out the door. And I've done that once, and I don't want to do it again. So how do I use the program to help with conflicts in the marriage? You know, one of the things that has been really helpful is working with guys when they send me their plan. And I always have to delete my initial email. I still to this day, it's like, what are you thinking? And it's like, you know, but it's that blunt like that. That's the way I was raised, and there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's not very effective. It's not very effective when you're dealing with emotional and spiritual situations. And with little girls, it's a lot of emotion. I got 2 little girls. It's a lot of emotions. They're always like, when I raise them, like, well, stop yelling, Daddy. Okay, yeah. So I do have to, you know, working with guys and deleting that first email has really, okay, what's a different way of stating this to these guys? You know, because the bully way, that's who I am. I'm a bully still to this day. I've had to make a few amends, you know. The practice of, you can write that email, just don't send it. And it always happens as I'm writing it. You can't be eating popcorn and this and that or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, that doesn't work for me. You know, it just becomes, you can do what you want, but this is what I recommend. This is what really worked for me and has kept me safe and sane and sober for 5 years. And that's the same way with the girls. It's like, I'm not really in charge of them. I'm there to guide them, really. And that's a tough, you know, one for me. It's like, you're just there to walk them along, you know. And they're going to make their own mistakes, and they do. I just have to try to stay out of the results of what they're doing. So it's just practice. That's what I found, you know. And just being calm. And I've had to make a lot of amends to my daughters. And more than my wife, I think. I'm sorry, Daddy yelled at you again. Oh yeah, you got to watch your voice, Daddy. You know, I get that a lot, so I get a lot of practice. Being a very most memorable, some of my most memorable amends to my family. I got a chance because, you know, that little boy who broke all the windows continued to do a lot of wreckage. You know, and it's so funny that we had a very dysfunctional family, and I had a big hand in making it dysfunctional. I really did. I did, again, what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it. I didn't care about the consequences. And so I would take beatings, and so I would take, it didn't matter to me. I still got to do what I wanted to do. So I got to make those amends as best I can. You know, and being a fear-based person, I did a lot of stealing. I still, to this day, my urge is to take. It really is. And so I got to make a lot of phone calls to a lot of production companies and say, How can I make this right? And they had no idea. Well, here's our favorite, you know, I was, you know, through sponsor direction, you know, can you recommend a charity that you guys like to support? Because they had no idea how to document it. The production companies, they worked for a certain period of time and then they fold up. So you call them their production company. So it just, you know, and I still get a lot of the credit card bills, you know, when I made, you know, a yearly donation or whatever it is, I get to see them every month. I'm like, there's the amends every month. I get to remember this is who I am. And I just get to keep making them. So they've all been really, really powerful. My wife, she was one of the first ones I got to make an amends to. I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of wreckage. I took a lot of her food, but that was it. Thank you. So after coming back from relapse, what is different and how I've worked a program? It really is the spiritual condition, because like I said, I work a very exhausting job, and I get to maybe 1 to 2 meetings a week. And so the only way that I can continue to stay abstinent and safe and sane and sober around food is through, you know, calling guys. I don't, you know, when my mind says you've got this, that to me is like, nope, you gotta start making phone calls. When I'm hungry, I eat enough food. My abstinence is 3 meals and 2 snacks. I eat enough food throughout the day that I should never physically really be hungry. I mean, a little twinges of hunger around mealtime, fine. But if I'm hungry, and sometimes as soon as I eat my snack or my meal, I'm hungry again, there's something going on. I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying to figure out what it is. I just know there's something going on, and the only way I know how to do it is just to call somebody else and let them know and find out how they're doing. Texting them. You know, when I'm on set, texting them. It's so funny. It's such a moving target when you talk about that dialed into that spirituality. It's just the commitment that I'm going to continue to do it. Before, I think once I had the food program, I thought I was working a spiritual program already, but it wasn't enough. And so I do a lot, and I'll be honest with you, I'm still afraid to remove any one of the things that I do for fear that that'll be the thing that takes me down. So I just keep kind of adding things to it. And I get up early enough. I get up, you know, sometimes 4 hours before I have to be at work so that I can do my prayer and meditation and do my reading and writing. And it doesn't take 4 hours to do it, but to pack my lunch and all that stuff, it takes time. And I've never thought of it as a chore. So really, this is a gift for me, and I'm just kind of protecting the gift. I didn't do anything to deserve this. When this gentleman was asking, I still don't know. It's a gift, and I'm just protecting the gift. I don't want to fumble the ball. And that's it. Thank you very much for asking.